Well, other than the air to breathe, there's almost nothing more important for your health and mine than being able to have safe drinking water. And the quality of our groundwater is not something that you and I should take for granted. There are many threats to that valuable resource, and fortunately, there are a lot of wonderful people out there, like Ken Bradbury, who are trying to protect that resource. And today we're going to take a look at what projects are underway in Wisconsin to manage our groundwater, talk about some of the issues with Ken. Ken's a state geologist, heads the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey in UW Extension. And Ken, thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Glad to be here, Larry.
You may have questions or comments, and I hope you'll join in and share them with us. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And just to start, I mean, you were just recently selected to lead the Geological and Natural History Survey. And I'm sure you got some goals in mind for that. What are your goals as you go ahead?
Well, yeah, thank you. Our former director, Jamie Robertson, retired last summer, and I've been on the job for about a month and a half now as a director and state geologist. So I'm one of the things I want to do is kind of raise the profile of our survey around the state and some of the things that we can do for the people of Wisconsin. We work on the rocks, water, mineral resources of the state. We're part of UW Extension, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
So we do resource evaluation, research, and all sorts of things.
Well, I tell you what, you are doing some cool work, including groundwater, obviously. And somebody said, well, what is groundwater? And I said, well, listen today because Ken's going to tell us what it is. So, when we talk about groundwater, what are we talking about?
Well, groundwater is the water that's filling the cracks and pores and interstices in the rocks and soil beneath our feet, and it's pretty hard to miss anywhere in Wisconsin. If you dig a hole or drill a well deep enough, you're going to run into the saturated zone where all the pores are filled with water, and that's groundwater down there, I want everyone to know that what a wonderful resource we have here. We've got some of the best aquifers, and an aquifer is a geologic formation that transmits and carries good quantities of water. We have some of the most wonderful aquifers really in the United States and possibly the world. So we have a great resource here.
And we want to kind of keep it great.
Exactly. And that's why, I think because it's so easy to get, people take it for granted, and for that reason, sometimes we don't pay enough attention to it. So there are we need to think about groundwater quantity and quality all the time.
Yeah, as we look at threats, what are some of the bigger threats to our groundwater?
Well, there are both quantity, how much water do we have, and how does it. How do we get it? And then quality, what can we drink it? That's what most people want to know. One of the points that I like to leave people with is that groundwater and surface water, particularly in our state, are very well connected. So the groundwater is sustaining trout streams and the sustaining lakes and sustaining wetlands. And we have to think of those as one resource together. So if we pump too much water or we change the landscape or the land use so that groundwater recharge or replenishment is diminished, then there's less water both for us to drink and for things like trout streams or lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the quality side, we have to worry about things like waste disposal, spills, what we do on the landscape. It's everything we do on the landscape could eventually get down to groundwater. So we have to think about how we handle materials in our lives and our waste products, transport, and this gets to transportation, pretty much everything we do on the landscape.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're part of a team that's developing a state-of-the-art groundwater model for the Little Plover River, if I'm not mistaken. And I wondered at first, well, why study that area? What are the issues surrounding that that important to study?
So, Larry, the Little Plover is a small but important river up near Stevens Point in what we call the central Wisconsin sand plains. So if people have driven up 51, that's the flat area you go through on the way to Stevens Point. And if you drive through that area, there are many, many center pivot irrigation wells that are used for, yeah, for the potato and vegetable industry, a very important industry. As that industry has increased and other demands have been made on the water resources, that area, resources like the Little Plover have been diminished. So there's less flow in that river than there used to be. There are also some lakes up there that have lower water levels than they used to have. And there's been, you know, these cause conflicts between people that want to use the water and people that want to, you know, people like trout fishermen or lake owners that want things to stay the same as they have been. And there have been many years of study of water resources in that area. We've done yet another study with sort of modern methods called computer models that we use to simulate groundwater flow and groundwater surface water interaction and simulate different wells. And the advantage of this doing it this way is we can look at a model and look at how wells or different land use changes might be affecting the surface water resources, might be affecting groundwater levels, and then we can do what-if scenarios, like suppose we take some of these wells away, or suppose we add more wells, or suppose there's climate change, what is going to happen? So it's really the state-of-the-art way to do what we would call decision support to help decision-makers understand what kind of decisions they're making and what the consequences of those decisions might be and what options they have.
And so that is pretty well along, is it not?
Yes, we've actually finished constructing that model, and we're in the middle of writing up reports on that, and that should be done in a month or so, and we'll be making some releases later on, hopefully later on this year.
And you've also involved with another project, and I think that's in cooperation and actually funded by the Illinois State Water Survey.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, what's going on
well,
there?
So one of the important kinds of data we collect are regional water levels, it's important for us to understand what our resource is. And so our aquifers, particularly our deep sandstone aquifer, where places like Madison here get their water, those aquifers don't stop at the state boundaries, of course.
Right.
And so the same sandstone formations that are here in Wisconsin go down into Illinois and into other states, but our survey was approached by the Illinois Water Survey about a year and a half or 2 years ago to do a joint investigation of deep water levels in northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin. So we've had some people out measuring water levels in deep wells in order to construct maps of the what's called the potentiometric surface, which is really a way of saying the levels, water levels in the deep aquifers. And that helps us understand how those are behaving, and again gives us information on how they should best be managed. So that's been a very good project, and it shows you how we cooperate with other states and how groundwater doesn't follow state lines.
No, it sure doesn't. And here we're talking, let's see, we got Rock and Walworth counties and Kenosha, Racine,
Kenosha, sure.
And Milwaukee, too, I think.
Yeah. Milwaukee.
And Waukesha.
Milwaukee, Waukesha, sure. And you're probably, you and the listeners are probably well aware of issues in particularly Waukesha and the city,
yes,
of Waukesha, where deep wells there are. Have issues with the radium contamination and too much drawdown or lowering of water levels, and so they would like to start taking some water from Lake Michigan, and that gets into the issues with the Great Lakes Compact and a lot of multi-state legal issues. But there are big issues there with groundwater.
Ken Bradbury, our guest today, state geologist, heads the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey with UW Extension. Talking with him about managing our water resources here in the state, certainly there's plenty of issues around it. I was took a look at the Wisconsin State Journal this morning, and one of the front page stories had to do with a bill that's being promoted or at least being proposed, and the discussion surrounding that bill by a Wisconsin Republican legislator. I think everybody's agreeing that there needs to be some things done, but it's all the devil's in the details always.
Exactly, yeah. And I, Of course, as a state employee, I'm not going to take a position on that bill. But it's a response to some of these issues I was talking about, particularly in central Wisconsin, where there are resource conflicts between people who want to use water in different ways. And that bill seeks to try to address some of those by proposing different ways that high-capacity wells get approved by DNR in different ways that surface water features get protected. And there's a lot of, as you say, a lot of details in there that we probably don't need to discuss now, but there'll be there was a lot of debate yesterday, and there's going to be a lot more going forward.
There definitely will be. I wanted to go back and just talk about some other really interesting projects that you guys are involved with. And one has to do, which I thought was quite interesting, with transport of viruses mm-hmm. in groundwater.
Yes, that's some work that we have a research team that we've been working on for almost a decade now. And what we've been finding are what were called human enteric viruses, or viruses that live in people in some deep wells, including some wells here in the Madison area. And the interesting thing there was that people prior to our work didn't think viruses would ever be found so deep. They didn't think they could travel that far in groundwater or be without being degraded. And we found that sometimes these viruses are even viable or you know, they could make you sick. So the important thing there is, first of all, that these are pathogenic viruses that the kind of thing that you might find on these cruise ships where people mm-hmm. get sick.
Yeah.
I should say that here in Madison, because we have a water utility that pays attention to this stuff and chlorinates the water, there's no, as long as the chlorination is happening, there's no risk to the population. But it does show us that why that chlorination is necessary here. And it also shows us that even these deep wells can be vulnerable to viruses at the surface, because we know they have to originate at the surface because they have to have a living human host in order to exist. So we've learned a lot there, both about viruses and about how things travel through groundwater. And one of the other interesting things that's come out of that study is the importance of things like fractures and what are called macropores, or large voids or gaps in the rock that we hadn't often thought about before in sandstone aquifers like we have under Madison. So that's been a real interesting study.
That is really interesting, and I'm kind of scary if you think about it, because all right, we're doing things. Madison is doing things to protect us. I'm thinking about, what about the farmer, or what about the family that lives just outside of Madison and has their own well?
Yes.
Now that could be a whole different matter, and probably something we can talk about. Our guest Ken Bradbury can talk about a whole lot of things connected with water resources. He's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. If you have a question, a comment, experience to share, call in at 1-800-642-1234. We'll be back with our guest after the news. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here as we take a look at our drinking water today and our groundwater with Ken Bradbury. Ken is the state geologist, heads the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey for UW Extension. And Ken, again, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it very much.
Glad to be here, Larry.
You may have a question or a comment about our water, groundwater, and I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. We've got land use, climate changing, water levels, above and below ground can be affected, obviously, by that. So that's kind of what we're zeroing in on today. Again, the number 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And just speaking of Facebook, we did have a comment from Lynn. Please help us in the Central Sands. We're rapidly losing our lakes, trout streams, and drinking water.
Well, Lynn, I can say I mentioned a few minutes ago this little plover model we've been working on, or just finishing. I like to tell people that just because we make a model, that doesn't give you any more water, but it should help people make more informed decisions as we go forward. So the help you need has to come from decision makers who decide how to use our resources. But we at the survey, and I should say we cooperate a lot with the U.S. Geological Survey as well. We do these studies to give people the information to make informed decisions and choices.
So kind of a related question in a way, an email from Bill in Madison. Dane County is growing very rapidly, is for sure. He's certainly right about that. A new development just started north of Lake Mendota. What's considered when dealing with volume versus the number of people being planned for? Going beyond the sort of the state-of-the-art models, what are the considerations? What goes into the computer models, for as an example? How do we know there's enough water?
Well, that's a great question. And I should tell you, first of all, that, again, we have wonderful water resources here in Dane County, both with the lakes and with our aquifers. I should also tell you that we're just now finishing a report on a groundwater model for Dane County. And the reason, again, we do models like that is so when questions come up about carrying capacity or sustainability, how many people can we handle? Of course, the planners have to have an estimate of how much water those people are going to need and what happens to their wastewater. And those are the things we can plug into the model and see what impacts, say, a new well in a particular place would have on local resources. Here in southern Wisconsin, we really have no water shortage with respect to running out of water or something like that. The impacts, though, are on surface water resources. So the impacts of new wells can be on impacting how much water might come out of a spring or a stream or a wetland or a lake. So we rarely see somebody's well actually drying up. The impacts are felt in different ways. And those are the things we think about. Now, a little more to get to the point of your question, who decides on some of these things? Again, that goes to the Regional Planning Commission or the county or whoever is making these decisions on growth and development. All we can do as scientists is give advice and the data and the analysis to describe what the impacts of various decisions are. That's how we would fit into that equation.
And there was an email question about that. How does one know if a local aquifer can support a large housing project, as an example?
Well, exactly. That's what we use these models for. And so one of the things we do at the Geological and Natural History Survey is we investigate the geology and investigate aquifers by measuring their properties, their what's called the hydraulic conductivity, how fast water can move through it, and how thick these formations are, how deep they are. What the water quality is. So we have technical information about how the aquifers form, or the underground plumbing, you might think about.
Yeah.
And that has to go into these planning decisions. But someone else has to tell us how much water is going to be needed for a particular housing development or whatever.
We have Frank in Milwaukee online with us. Frank, thanks for waiting. Hi, what's on your mind?
Well, first of all, Larry, I really enjoy your programs. You are a master at your job, and you have great joy in your voice. I'm concerned. I'm a fisherman, and I probably fish six or seven different lakes during the summer, and they put chemicals in to kill the weeds. And what kind of chemicals are they putting in? And that really hurts the fishing. Some lakes I've been on, they use machines. So what kind of chemicals? And that can't be good for the water.
Frank, I'm afraid I'm not the expert on the weed killer chemicals, so I can't really tell you what is used. We do know that or what the effects on the fish is. Not really my expertise. We do have concerns though when things are put into water, what happens to them? And as I mentioned, groundwater and surface water are connected, so there's certainly always a potential. If chemicals are put into a lake, they could end up in the groundwater and possibly in somebody's well. So that's a consideration when planning these things. But as far as specifically to your question, I'm afraid I'm a little bit out of my department.
One area, one place, though, Frank, you could go for some more information, is the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has, there's permitting that has to be done for this, and I think the permitting has to go through the DNR. And the DNR has information as to the chemicals that can be used and what sort of what these chemicals are about. At least that would give you a place to start in taking a look at what's going on. And, you know, as a fisherman or anybody else, somebody that just wants to swim in the water or boat, these are certainly major concerns. I thanks, Frank, for calling. And there may be, actually, we may get a call from somebody from the DNR to have more comment on that, as a matter of fact, on those chemicals. So stay listening for sure. And thanks for your comments, by the way, as well. I want to give Richard and Madison a chance to join in. Richard, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for letting me talk to you guys. I'm really concerned about the Little Plover River up in Portage County. The irrigation in Portage County is extensive. And if there's ever been more evidence of the effect of the connection between sucking water out of the aquifer and the effect on surface water, it has to be the Little Plover River, which used to be one of the number one trout streams in Wisconsin.
Yeah. And it's, as it turns out, it's one of the rivers that you spent a lot of time studying,
yes,
Ken.
Yeah, and as mentioned a few minutes ago, we are just now finishing up another study of the Little Plover, and I certainly agree with you that that's a river that's highly influenced by nearby pumping of wells. And if people haven't been to the Little Plover, it really is quite a lovely stream. Part of it goes through a fisheries area, you know, a public access land area that's really quite lovely. So it's an awfully nice place. And it's certainly not, it doesn't go at the same level that it used to. And we have good evidence of that. We have good evidence that the nearby wells are influencing it. So the point of our study is to understand exactly how much influence from these wells there has been, and then what could be done to remedy the situation, which, you know, if wells needed to be moved or turned off, or which wells would they be, and how many should there be? And are there other options which could be used? And I would say the local farmers have been part of this study, and we talk to them often, and they've been very, very cooperative in wanting to understand themselves how the whole system works. So I think it's an example of a study that can be a kind of a win for everybody as we go forward and just try to inform people how the system works so people can make good choices.
What are the follow-ups, Ken? You've got this, you have these data and you have, and can generate more data on, you know, depending on what people are interested in, but how does it get used or how do we go forward?
Well, really this project is being done to help the folks at DNR who have to approve new high-capacity wells, to help them understand, to help guide their approvals, what things they need to look at. And also it's an educational effort to help everyone understand how the groundwater system works. Some people still think of, actually many people still often imagine the groundwater is mysterious and it's hard to understand, and they think that water's coming from Canada or something, when in fact it's a very understandable system. We have excellent science done for many years by many different people to understand the system, to understand these connections, and we have very good tools now for predictive modeling. And so it's to inform decision makers as we move ahead. One of the things we're doing with this model is coming up with different scenarios for different future land use and well management options to show what is and isn't possible with turning certain wells on or off, moving them to different places, different sorts of land use, pumping at different times of the year, all kinds of different options that we might be able to simulate, and then let the decision makers decide which of those are really viable.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Richard, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. So if somebody like Richard, who's really concerned about this, where would he go to his... Would he be talking with the DNR? Would he be to where would he be going to sort of get clued in?
We mentioned if he wants to know about the geology, we have a website. If I can remember the address real quick.
Oh, we'll have it up on our we have it on our Facebook page.
Yep.
Cheyenne's put it up there already. So it's WisconsinGeologicalSurvey.org.
Right. So that we have a lot of information on our website about the geology and groundwater of the state. If people are interested in getting involved in how the state goes forward, there were hearings on a bill yesterday at the Capitol, and there's likely to be more. So that people need to pay attention to the news and what's going on if they want to put in weigh in with their opinions. Certainly the DNR, I think, is all their private water management group is always interested in hearing people's opinions too, and county planning agencies. And then there are, specifically for the Little Plover River or other lakes, there are citizen groups like the Friends of the Little Plover River that are very, it's kind of a public interest group that works on the Little Plover River, and I'm sure they are a group that would welcome more citizen involvement.
All right, there we go. Friends of the Little Plover River, is that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Richard, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. We move to Lauren next in Waukesha. Hi, Lauren. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I was interested in the Waukesha water problems. Namely, EPA has oversight as to the quality of the drinking water, and it issued certain edicts, I guess you might say, for Waukesha to comply with water. And it seems the resolve will be to tap Lake Michigan water from Oak Creek and go to bring that into Waukesha to solve that water problem. But in fact, I think there's a Board of Governors that has the greater oversight authority of Lake Michigan with the compact. And I wondered, what would be the trade-off between drilling wells west of the city limits of Waukesha and pumping water in, or a combination thereof? What would you see as a practical resolution of that? Mm-hmm. And do you see it as both water being permitted from Lake Michigan, or one or the other, or both?
Well, that's a long question, and it's a complicated situation because it involves both groundwater resources, but there's also, as you alluded to, there's a lot of legal wrangling that's going with that involves multi-states and even multinational or international issues, because the Great Lakes Compact affects all the states that border the Great Lakes plus a Canadian province, Ontario. And the compact's a complicated document, but they all need to agree if any water is to be taken out of the Great Lakes Basin. So we have that. Now, the question of where could new wells be drilled to the west, they probably could. All these things have a cost. And, if the farther away you start drilling wells, that water has to be delivered. So that involves pipelines. It involves property, crossing property, involves a lot of construction. Remember, Waukesha already has a underground pipeline network. And then it involves getting permission from these wells to be in a different place. And one of the things that I want to leave people with is that you don't get something for nothing. If you take water out of the ground somewhere, it's always an impact. And so, anywhere you do it, there's some sort of impact that's just unavoidable. So it's. There are probably several potential solutions to the Waukesha problem or the Waukesha issue. They all involve trade-offs, they all involve costs, and they all involve politics in some way. And all we can do as geologists is give people the give the again to give the decision makers the information so they can weigh those appropriately.
Somebody had made the comment about the water that you take out of the ground is used in that particular area, and it should eventually wind itself back into that ground. But yet we're at a deficit situation.
Exactly. Larry, the Madison here is a great example of that because we the city of Madison is served by deep wells. All the water anyone drinks in Madison is really groundwater coming out of our deep aquifer. And overall in Dane County, we pump about something on the order of 55 million gallons a day out of the ground. Where does that water end up? Well, frankly, most of it goes down the drain, right, into your sink or your toilet or your shower. And where does it go from there? Well, it goes down to the Nine Springs Sewage Treatment Plant, and from there it goes out into the into Badfish Creek and eventually into the Yahara River chain south of Dane County. So it goes out into surface water outside of our county. It doesn't go back into groundwater here. So the total amount of water in the world hasn't changed, but the total amount of groundwater in Dane County has changed. And that happens in other places as well. This is just an example close to home here. So the understanding that water balance and trying to maintain that balance is what we need to do to make sure all our resources stay in balance.
Jack in Dunn has a question for us, so let's go there. Jack, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, and I have one question. It has to do with artesian wells.
Okay.
There's one up at Westby, Wisconsin, that just runs, all day long, every day of the year, and there's just a ton of water coming out of there. And I'm wondering what happens to that water. Is it just like you said? But I don't think it goes through any treatment plant, does it?
First of all, for those that don't know, an artesian well or a flowing artesian well is a well that flows, water flows out of the well naturally because of the underground pressure. And usually these wells are located in low spots in the landscape, river valleys or near lakes or streams. And they're quite common in some parts of Wisconsin, but if you think about where you've seen them, they're usually in low parts of the landscape. Where does that water go? Well, it all depends on the particular spot. If that water is just running away, it's gonna become surface water and run into the nearest creek or stream and become surface water. Here's an interesting little factoid. Historically, in places like De Pere, the artesian pressure was so great that water, when they drilled wells, 100 years ago or more, that water would rise 50, 60 feet in the air.
Wow.
And there are some old photos of it. It looks like these oil well geysers of water, spraying way up in the air and people watching it. And now with the modern pumping, none of that happens anymore. But historically, there were very, very many flowing wells in Wisconsin.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, thanks for calling. Appreciate your call, Jack. We had Teresa in Grant County. My home has a 140-foot deep well. Could it dry up as a result of the large hog farm I suppose you could say any large farm that might be using a ton of water?
Well, that's a common question, and of course nothing's impossible. It all depends on where your well starts. In a place like Grant County, where there are big hills and deep valleys, the water table, the top of the groundwater is down in those valleys. So if you're on the top of a hill, it might be 140 feet just to get to the water. Yeah. If that's all the deeper your well was, well, it might dry up. But if you're down in the valley and your well's 140 feet deep, probably not. And then whether a nearby farm or another well is going to cause that, it all depends on how much water they're using. Now, so that gets back to our groundwater laws. And for high-capacity wells, which are wells that pump more than 70 gallons a minute, they do require a permit from the Department of Natural Resources. And one of the things that the DNR does when they're evaluating those permits is they look at how much water the well is going to pump and what the drawdown or the impact around that well is going to be. And if it's going to be very, very significant, they would probably either deny or they would condition that permit to a smaller amount of water, or they might ask the well to be moved to a different spot.
Well, we have scratched the surface here, Ken. I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today, and hopefully we can get you back and talk about this again. There's obviously a lot of interest and a lot of worry out there about our water, and we've had a great resource here, and of course people want to maintain it and keep it. Ken Bradbury, our guest, state geologist and head of the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey for UW Extension. And we have a link on our Facebook page to the Geological Survey, so I hope you'll go to that, and you'll certainly learn a lot more about what they are doing and the work. We talked about a lot of his research, and it's some pretty cool stuff that could have a direct impact on your area. Thanks again for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.